We're looking at paradoxes in the Bible. Paradoxes are those things that don't seem to make sense when we first look at them. They actually seem backwards or upside down. They seem contradictory. And so far we have looked at three of them. When we are weak, we are strong. That's a paradox. Why would a God who needs nothing ask us for everything? That's another. And finally, last time, whoever loses their lives will actually save it. So tonight we want to look at another paradox. The paradox of gaining by giving. Gaining by giving. That doesn't make sense, does it? So let's look at it. Jesus says in verse 38, the command, give. And it shall be given unto thee, or unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That's not only God's word, those are the words of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray, God, that you would give us understanding and faith to believe it and to trust it. God, that you'd help me to present it in a way that would be easy to be understood and easily to be comprehended. And may the Holy Spirit latch it onto our hearts. We ask and we thank you for that. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I guess we have learned, and let me just say this, you may not believe a word that I'm going to say tonight. You may not believe what Christ says here. You may not believe what the Word of God says. That's entirely up to you. I'm going to tell you what God says because I believe what God says is true. Whether you believe it or not, that doesn't matter to me. God says it. I know it's true. The world teaches us that the way we gain is we keep. The world says we'll have more if we're selfish and stingy. The world says the less we give away, the more we will have. And I think most of us would agree with that. I mean, it's simple mathematics, right? If I keep what I have and then I continually add to it, I'll have more. That's simple economic mathematics. The question that I have for me, is that really true? It makes sense. If I keep everything I have and add to what I have, and if I'm stingy and selfish, I'm eventually going to have more. But is that true? Is that what God says to His people? Is that how God instructs us? So what God does here is He offers a paradox to get us to think. And the paradox is this: to have more, you give more. That doesn't make sense, does it? To have more, I give more? That doesn't make sense. The more you give, Jesus says, the more you'll have. That doesn't make mathematical sense. It seems wrong that subtraction would equal addition. I'm not very good at math, but I never have thought that subtraction equals addition. Jesus here doesn't say a word about 6 months of an emergency fund. He doesn't say anything about a savings account. And I bet you some of these financial gurus that we listen to on the radio never say the way to get more is by giving more away. But we would rather believe those guys than we would God. Say amen. We'll buy their CDs. We'll buy their books. But we won't believe God. Let me show you three things here in the text. Number one, the promise. What Jesus tells us in verse 38 is a promise. It is a promise given to us not by world leaders, but by given to us by God. God makes a promise. If you will give, right, it shall be given unto you. That's what God promises. If you as a child of God will be a generous giver, God will give to you. That's the promise. So the formula here that God outlines for us, this formula is backed by the promise of God. It's not backed by simple interest or anything else. It's backed by the promise of God. And I want to ask tonight, does the promise of God sway your thinking in any way? Does it matter that God promises this? What God is doing here is expressing this as a surety. If you give, it will, it shall, certainty be given to you. Now, maybe God's exaggerating here. Maybe God's a better savior than he is a financial advisor. Do you think God's lying here? Just to get an offering? Let me ask you this. Is the world smarter than God when it comes to financial prosperity? Is God worthy of trusting? Can we rely on God's promises? Is what God is saying here in Luke 6:38, is what God is saying true? And if it is, are we willing to submit to its authority? And I would say this, most are not willing. Most are not. Because most think they have a better handle on finances than God could ever have. But the promise here of God is grounded upon the character of God. And it's a simple thing that we often ignore. We'll talk about it more at the end, but just to mention it here so you can just meditate upon it a little bit. God is going to measure out His blessings to you in accord with what you've measured out in your giving. That's what he says. If you give a lot, you'll receive a lot. And Scripture says here, it will be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now again, the word translated give here that starts verse 38 is in the imperative or is a command. Generous giving is commanded by God. Not suggested, it's commanded by God of His people, and our obedience to this command to give is essential if we want to receive. Seems to me God is making it clear, and God's Word clearly teaches here, that our giving is actually a pipeline to God's blessings. That's His promise. Give, and it shall be given to you. And we have to decide if we want to keep what we have and add to it, or would we be better off giving generously and knowing that God is going to give back to us. The promise is that if we are desiring to receive from God, we must be willing to give. Notice number two. the picture. The Lord gives us a picture of how God does this, how God gives to us back. I want you to see it. If you will give, God promises to give back to you. And this is how He's going to give back to you. It's going to be good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. And so the imagery that Christ uses here in Luke is the idea of blessings being poured out into our bosom or into our laps. It comes from an ancient Middle Eastern grain market picture. People would go to the grain market to purchase a lap full of grain. And here's how the process went in Jesus' day. There were four stages of measuring grain for a customer. They would start by filling a container to the top with grain. Say amen. And then they would press it down. They would press it down in that container and make more room. And then they would fill it up some more. And then they would take the container and they would shake it against something hard so it would settle some more. And then they'd pour some more in. And eventually they would pour so much more in, it would overflow, and the buyer would catch the overflow grain in the pouch of his robe. And that pouch sort of acted like a carry-all bag so the woman or the man could bring all of it back from the market, a lap full of grain. So in Jesus' day, grain was not sold by volume. You ever go to the store and get a box of cereal? Sold by volume. It's half a box. It's not sold by weight, it's sold by volume. It's half a box of cereal. Doesn't matter how big they make the box. But in Jesus' day, they didn't sell by volume. I mean, they sold by volume, not by what? Not by weight. That's why this verse mentions that the grain is pressed down. It's shaken so that more grain and more grain could be piled into that container, so much more that the excess would overflow and they would catch it in their robes. And that was an everyday experience for the crowd that Jesus was speaking to, so they would immediately understand the meaning of that particular picture. Now, don't you want your life filled that way? I want God's blessings in my life so much that I want Him to fill it, press it, shake it, and fill it some more and overflow. That's what I want. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to overflow your life with His blessings, but His blessings correspond to your own generosity. In fact, I would say this, His blessings are triggered by your generosity. Your giving is a direct route to the abundant blessings of God in your life. And I don't want to talk about some prosperity preacher. I'm just telling you what God says. If you're generous, God will be generous. And I want to say this. Regardless of how much you give, you can't outgive God. You give, and He will always be faithful to give back. And there will never be a point in which your giving fails to bring back less of a return. And I thought this afternoon, that promise alone should drive us to be cheerful, generous givers. I'm tapping into God's blessings. Amen. Of course, you understand, all of that comes out of a heart that has been dealt with and has been reborn by the power of God and made to be a generous heart. So as abundant as God's blessings are in our lives, what we give away results in even greater blessings. That's what God says. And that concept is counterintuitive to society's mindset today. We are encouraged to accumulate and save as much as we can. But God's word is clear that believers are to avoid the love of money, and the promise from God is consistent. If you give, I'll give back to you. And when we are greedy, and we store up wealth, and we store up resources, and we limit them to our own selfish purposes, we shut off much of God's blessings. It would be far better to surrender them to the purposes of God and reap the blessings of God using them and us giving them back to Him and accomplishing those things in people's lives. Amen. Number three, the principle. I'm trying to hurry. I know this is painful for you. Jesus says, give, the command, the imperative, give, and it shall be given back to you. It's a promise. And the way God gives back is He just doesn't give back. He pours in and He presses down and He shakes and He pours more and shakes it and then He overflows it. He just gives us. He wants us to have abundance. And then look what He says at the very end of that verse. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, with the same measuring cup you give, that will be the measuring cup that God uses to give back to you. Now it's up to you. Say amen. You want to use a thimble? God will give back to you in a thimble. Somebody help me. Want to use a measuring cup? Might want to use a shovel. So what precisely is Jesus teaching us here about Christian giving? Two things. When you give, God gives back to you. And God, number two, God uses the same measure you use. Or if we put that in modern terms, if you are stingy toward God, toward giving, God will be stingy toward you. If you're generous, God will be generous in return. Remember what was written elsewhere in the Scriptures? But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now that's the principle drawn from this idea here. If you sow a little, you'll reap a little. If you sow a lot, you'll reap a lot. So God here specifically promises to take care of generous givers, and He promises to give back to generous givers in accordance with the measure of their generosity that they used in giving in the first place. So if we just give God a little, what should we expect? Do you see that God's giving to us is only limited by our giving? Say amen. The bottleneck here, the bottleneck in my receiving from God is me. And so in essence, here's what God says. You go first. You go first, then I'll go. And you know what we don't like? That. But you know, really, it's not even that. Everything that we could give, God's already given to us. So really, God's saying, I've given you what you have. Be generous with it, and I'll replenish it. You hoard it, I won't. But if you give it away, I'll give it back. We want God to say what? Well, you give me the extra, you put it back in there and I'll give, right? But what God says is what? Trust me. I think it's pure foolishness for me to trust God with my soul and not my money. It's just pure foolishness. I can give Him my soul and know that when I die, I'm going to wind up going in His presence, but I can't give Him my wallet. Jesus says, trust me. You give, I'll take care of you. You give, I'll take care of you. You give, I'll take care of you. And I promise you'll never be disappointed. God says, we just won't believe it. We'd rather believe Dave Ramsey. Somebody help me. Generous giving is a great testimony because it says to the world, when God gives you, there's a lot more where that comes from. Only when we say that, we're not talking about our investment strategy. We're talking about the God of the universe who has promised to care for His children. God will be just as generous to us as we are with Him. So how does God give back to us? Maybe with money. Maybe. I have certainly gotten money from strange places. Say amen. I have certainly been able to pay bills on money I didn't think I could pay bills on. So He might return money. He might not. He might give us things money can't buy. Might be answered prayer. Might be deep joy. Might be new friendships. It might be a new experience of His power in our lives. It might be amazing things. It could be the peace that passes all understanding. You know, a couple of weeks ago, two people, a woman and a man, a fashion designer, a women's apparel fashion designer, and a chef with lots of money, lots of things, lots of friends, but apparently no peace and no joy. She took a scarf and he took a towel, I think, and they wrapped it around the doorknob of their doors and they hung themselves till they died. All their money couldn't buy them what they really needed. I don't know how God specifically plans to supply us when we are generous in our giving, but I know He will because He said He would. It might be the car lasts longer, the shoes last longer, the clothes last longer. I don't know how God wants to do it. That's His business, and I'm not going to pry into that. He said, if I will be generous in my giving, He will give back to me. And He said, by the generosity that I show is the same generosity that He will show to me. So if that's true, I'm not going for the teaspoon. I'm not going for the little one-cup measuring cup. I want to give more so that He will bring His blessings upon my life in generosity. Amen. So let me ask just a question as I end. When you come to church, what part about church do you look forward to the most? And let's assume that you're not going to give some crazy answer. Your answer is going to be somewhat spiritually noble. Nothing vain or selfish. Some people might say, well, you know what keeps me coming back to the church is the is the preaching. It's the teaching. The teaching of the Word of God keeps me coming back every week. I look forward to the teaching of the Word of God. Others may say it's the music. I love the music of the church. I want to come back and I want to hear the music. For others, it may be the fellowship with the deep friendships that we have in the church. And these are relationships that we can't cultivate anywhere else. Others may say it's just a haven away from the pressures of life and of work in the world. But let me suggest something to you. If we really understood the Word of God, particularly some of the specific promises from Christ, the thing that we would most look forward to in the church service is the offering. There's promises attached to the offering. If what God says here is true, we would be looking for opportunities to give, because regardless of how much we give, we can't outgive God. You give, and He's always faithful to give back. And it's not just what Christ says. That's enough. Christ said it. I believe it, right? But let me tell you something. I have experienced that. I'm guessing, I know. Last year, we probably gave more last year than we ever have in our lives. And I have fewer needs than I ever have had in my life. I didn't miss a penny of that stuff. You know why? Because some way, somehow, God was always giving back. And if I would have given more, He would have been giving more as well. The only thing that hindered that was what? But I know we've got better plans. We're financially smarter than God. I've took Dave's class. I know how to do it. Now listen, that doesn't mean we should be reckless with giving everything away. God's Word clearly advocates we be wise managers of what we have, what we receive from God. But let me say this. If you're going to store up, if you're going to have a savings account, if you're going to store up treasure, you ought to do it in heaven. Because He said, if you do it in heaven, there's no thief that can get it. There's no moth that can destroy it. Give, this is what He says, give generously and then count on the Lord being generous with you. Say amen. That doesn't seem like it makes sense. That seems like it's the opposite. That seems like that's not going to work. That seems like a bunch of hooey. But God said it was so. And I either have to believe God or not. And if you can't believe Him with your pocketbook, I wouldn't believe Him with my soul. If I couldn't believe that He would do that, I won't believe that He will save my soul. If I would confess my sins. Why would I? If He's God, He's got to be true in every situation. Say amen. So this is what He says. Give. And it shall be given unto you. How? Good measure. He says, I just won't give it to you. I'll pour it in. I'll press it down. I'll pour some more in. I'll shake it. And I'll make it running over. If that's how you'll give, if you'll give that way, if you'll give and then press it down and give some more and shake it and give and put some more in, if you'll give that way, God said, I'll give that way. Because the same measure you measure with will be the same measure God measures with too. Say amen. If God is the God we say He is, how foolish for us to be stingy. How embarrassing is that the church limps through Because you understand, when we budget based upon money incoming. We can't do this because the money that's incoming is allocated for this. We don't have the money to do that. We should never have to budget that way. We should budget this way. What are we going to do to reach people with the money that's coming in? We got to do something with it. But apparently we have a hard time believing that. And I'm here to tell you, I believe it because He said it, and I believe it because I've experienced it. God has been good. I have no right to be stingy. Whatever I give would be what He's already given me. And He said, "You whatever you give, whatever, I'll somehow give it back to you." That's a deal, isn't it? You give 100, I'll somehow give that back to you. You give 1,000, I'll somehow give that back to you. Right? Now, I understand there are TV preachers who have totally abused the giving of God's people. But I'm just saying this. You be generous with your giving, and God has promised to be generous with you. And I need God to be generous.